Blog Talk Radio.
Issue
on that particular subject or category, we'll talk a little bit about what is freedom. Everybody talk about freedom, but we're not sure everybody understand what it is. So we'd like to just give you a little snapshot on what freedom is or what you think it may be, and later on we'd like to maybe have that as part of our discussion. The second segment, that's the first segment. The second segment we'll talk about some black men facts. This is African History Month, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people have no idea on how this month started about. And one of our members and contributors, Susan, she will give you a little history on African History Month and some little mini facts. Following that segment, we'll have the segment dealing with hot topics and current events. Yes, we got some very interesting hot topics, and we'd like to hear your views and perspective on it. The issue dealing with Jesse Smollett, this question of R. Kelly, the issue of Robert Pratt, the owner of the New England Patriots, and the recent court settlement between Kaepernick and Eric Wright. What do y'all make of these particular issues, particularly as it relates to this whole question of this world is a ball of confusion? And following the hot topics and current events section, we'll talk a little bit about and like to have your views on what's going on between U.S.-Venezuela confrontation and the state of emergency that Donald Trump just declared. So those are some of the things we'll talk about, and we'd like to get started at this point in time of saying that when we talk about history, one of the things we got to look at is this question of freedom. You know, when we talk about history, history is always has a perspective where many people often are struggling for their freedom. What do we mean by freedom? And we thought that we went to a history book, and when we read this book, it has some real interesting concepts of different people variations of what freedom is. We'd like to take a couple of these concepts, and we'd like to just share them with you, and we want you to think about this. And then on, we'd like to discuss to y'all what freedom means to y'all. Now, there are about 3-4 concepts we took from different freedom fighters in our history who define freedom from their perspective. Now, when we talk about Nelson Mandela, he had a really interesting concept that he called how he defined freedom. And he stated that freedom is for it to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. Now, that was his concept of freedom. We look at Bob Marley. Bob Marley had another version of it. Bob Marley's version was to battle, to die fighting for freedom, than to be a prisoner, all the days of your life. He said, it's better to die fighting for freedom than to be a prisoner all of the days of your life. That's Bob Marley's version of freedom. Does that reconcile with yours or their people? What do y'all think? And when we look at Malcolm X, he had an interesting concept of freedom or how you should view freedom, and how can we maybe apply this particular lesson to our daily lives as a people. He stated that if you are not ready to die for it, put the word freedom out of your vocabulary. That's right, though, Malcolm X, a conception of how you view freedom. He stated, if you're not ready to die for it, put the word freedom out of your vocabulary. So those are 3 examples of variations of freedom as relates to some of our forefathers, how they view freedom. We'd like to maybe have that discussion a little bit later on. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to make our transition to Susie. She has some black mini facts that she'd like to share with you. So, Susie, as related to this African History Month, we'll turn this mic over to you.
Good evening. Black History Month honors the contributions of African Americans to United States history. Did you know that Madam C.J. Walker was America's first made woman to become a millionaire, or that George Washington Carver was able to derive nearly 300 products from peanuts? Get the story of the creation of the NAACP, famous first in African American history, and other black history facts. Black History Month began as Negro History Week, which was created in 1926 by Carter G. Woodson, a noted African American historian, scholar, educator, and publisher. It became a month-long celebration in 1976. The month of February was chosen to coincide with the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. On February 12, 2009, the NAACP marked its 100th anniversary, spurred by growing racial violence in the early 20th century, and particularly by race riots in Springfield, Illinois in 1908. A group of African-American leaders joined together to form a new permanent civil rights organization, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP. February 12, 1909 was chosen because it was the centennial anniversary of the birth of Abraham Lincoln. To continue, Jack Johnson became the first African-American man to hold a world heavyweight champion boxing title in 1908. He held on to the belt until 1915. John Mercer Langston was the first black man to become a lawyer in Ohio when he passed the bar in 1854, when he was elected to the post of town clerk for Brownham, Ohio in 1855, Langston became one of the first African Americans ever elected to public office in America. John Mercer Langston was also the great uncle of Langston Hughes, famed poet of the Harlem Renaissance. Thurgood Marshall was the first African American ever appointed to the United States Supreme Court. He was appointed by President Lyndon B. Johnson and served on the Supreme Court from 1967 to 1991. And here's a couple more actual African-American histories. George Washington Carver developed 300 derivative products from peanuts, among them cheese, milk, coffee, flour, ink, dyes, plastics, wood stains, soap, linoleum, medicinal oils, and cosmetics. Hiram Rhodes Revels was the first African-American ever elected to the United States Senate. He represented the state of Mississippi from February 1870 to March 1871. And last and final mini fact, Shirley Chisholm was the first African-American woman elected to the House of Representatives. She was elected in 1968 and represented the state of New York. She broke ground again 4 years later in 1972 when she was the first major party African-American candidate and the first female candidate for President of the United States. And those are just a few of the African-American history for this Black History Month of February 2019.
All right. Thank you, Susie. And at this point in time, what we're going to do is we are just talk a little bit about this concept of freedom, what it means, based upon certain perspectives of our forefathers. And Susie gave us a report on the background of African History Month and some black mini facts. What we're going to do right now, we're going to pause for this pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about some hot topics. When we talk about these hot topics, we want to try to learn something from them. We'd like to hear your perspective. Coming up with our hot topics, we're going to discuss Justice Smollett and his case dealing with his allegedly he was attacked by a group of men, and later on it turned out to be this point looked like he may have been the one who created the whole scenario of claiming or filing a false report. We'd like to know what you think about that issue, along with recently Kelly has been indicted again for this whole question of his relationships with young girls, following with the whole idea of Robert Pratt, who is the owner of the New Name Patriots. He was recently being caught. He was caught and was being accused of solicitation or participating or trying to solicitate prostitutes. This is the owner of Robert Kraft. This is the owner of the New Name Patriots. And last not least, this week there was a collusion settlement between the NFL and Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Those are our hot topics. When we come back, we're going to discuss them a little bit, and we'd like to hear your views or your take on these issues. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. This is Missing Pages of History. Some say loving yourself is the greatest love of all. We welcome you back to Missing Pages of History. Our theme today, in the context of our discussion, our theme is the world is a ball of confusion. You know what, audience, there's a saying that when you think about America, you're really talking about entertainment. Everything we do is seen to be done solely for a value to entertain. And some of the greatest forms of entertainment seem like it only can take place through the form of either sports, music, or sex. Now, are there any other ways where human beings can be entertained, or do we call it entertained, while being in the form of sports, music, and sex? Well, this week there was some affairs that took place, and we'd like to know from your perspective, your narrative, what can we take from these particular hot topics or these affairs that took place? You had this whole question of Justice Sumat, who still is currently, he's an actor on The Empire. Allegedly, he has been accused of or being charged of making false charges. He was accused of falsifying a report where he was brutally attacked by two males because of his sexual origin. And later on, up to this point, it seems that the Chicago police is now saying that this was something that he has created himself. Now, one may come to ask the question, why would anyone who had the status that he had, making the money that he didn't make, why was the need for him to go to that link? What would cause any young man to do that? Something is going on in society, and people's not talking about it. We're trying to find out what will make an individual to do what he has done and prove to be true that he staged this whole thing. Also, when we talk about music, there's ongoing drama around R. Kelly. R. Kelly in relationship to young women, very young women, and his whole question of sexual abuse of women. He has recently been indicted, I believe, four times, four charges on indictment again. And the question becomes, what is the real story behind R. Kelly? Why are we continually to hear these stories of him and the law enforcement every 2-3 years? It never stopped. Is this another case of Bill Cosby, or is this something different? But what can we take and learn from this? Also, speak to something that just happened, that is the talk of this town right now among many people in sports, is Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots. I believe he was down in Miami, being caught with solicitation. Here he engaged in some illicit sexual act with some prostitutes. That's what he's been charged and alleged. And this is a wealthy billionaire. Hey, my question to you is, what was that all about? And do you think you'll get treated like anyone else who may not be a millionaire? And last but not least, we'd like to hear from you. Finally, there was a settlement on collusion between Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid in the National Football League. Why do you think at this point in time they reached a settlement, and why the settlement was concealed? Do y'all have any issues in terms of how the settlement was done? If so, state your reasons. So these are our hot topics, and when we write our history on these events, how should this history be written? So what we're going to do right now is open our phone lines up to these four hot topics. We'd like to hear your views on these issues. And if you have something to say on this particular topic, please hit one, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. So we have a caller that's been waiting patiently. We are bringing caller 6029. 6029, caller, welcome to Missing Pages of History. What is your perspective, caller, on this whole question of these four hot topics as it relates to Justice Sillette, R. Kelly, Robert Kraft, and the settlement between Kaepernick and Eric Reid? What can we take from this?
Yeah, well, you know, the case of Justice Smollett, you know, it's somewhat confounding. You know, one of the things is that, as you alluded to, he has notoriety, he had fame, he had bank. So for him to do such a disastrous thing, it's very difficult to fathom. But I suspect that the drive, you know, for more fame and more wealth was probably the biggest motivating terms of motivating him to do such a thing. But unfortunately, you know, he did real damage in terms of those who are, you know, objectively vilified or hurt by the actions of others who intent is really to undermine and destroy the African community. So what he did was unfortunate. In terms of R. Kelly, you know, one of the things is that, you know, he's been doing this for a long, long time. And what I find amazing is that why any of the people who surrounded him didn't, you know, put his call and say, listen, man, you need some help. You need to go see somebody. But, of course, when you have that kind of fame and that kind of bank, people are hesitant, you know, to call your attention to certain problems that may exist out of fear that if they upset the individual, that there'll be no money to be made, so therefore they tend to keep their mouths shut. So unfortunately, you know, this has been a long track record in terms of his behavior, but unfortunately, at this point, it should come to an end, you know, because the kind of visibility that he's getting now sort of underscores, you know, just, you know, how unfortunately the kind of things he's been doing to young women, you know, for a long, long time. So hopefully this will come to an end. As far as Robert Kraft, you know, he's not different than any other billionaire who feels a sense of entitlement. This notion in terms of, you know, solicitation, you know, is nothing new. And what makes it even more apparent is the fact that the people that he solicited were actually trafficking. So these were young women who were by no means of their own caught up in a situation in which they had to provide sexual favors for wealthy individuals. You know, recently there was a situation where Jeffrey Epstein, another billionaire who was flies around a plane called Lolita Express. He was recently his attorney at the time was a former cabinet secretary for Trump, Secretary Acosta. they're in hot water now too as a result of you know, trafficking young girls in terms of taking them to the island and having all these kind of lurid kinds of relationship with these young girls. And the thing about this particular guy is that he not only did it himself, but he also had other famous people like Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, other billionaires, you know, who protect and, you know, essentially molesting young girls. So this problem in terms of, you know, the sexual abuse of women is something that's part and parcel in terms of the sense of entitlement. So I think, you know, that it's good that Robert Kraft was exposed for who he is, and hopefully, you know, justice will prevail, but I seriously doubt it, given the fact that he had lots and lots of money. Because in the case of Jeffrey Epstein, he only did about 13 months in prison. When anybody else who victimized young girls like that would have got, you know, 10, 20 years in prison, this guy, by the virtue of his wealth, only got 14 months in prison. So clearly, there's a different standard when it comes to justice, when it comes to wealthy people as opposed to poor people. Lastly, in case in terms of Kaepernick and Evick Reed, the thing is that I'm glad they prevailed. And the reason why they prevailed was the fact that Kaepernick and Robert Reed's statistics were outstanding. So the NFL were hard-pressed to justify, in particular, why Kaepernick wouldn't get another job in the NFL, given he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And so the NFL realized there was nothing, no, they didn't have a leg to stand on, so they had to concede and actually give him the money. Now, people are speculating that what he received was in excess of $60 million and up. I maintain that that's no money in terms of what they did to him. The true test of justice is whether or not, you know, he'd be able to find some place in the NFL to go and play. That would be the true mark of a justice in the NFL. But I'm not looking forward to that because, of course, these rich white billionaires don't give a damn about the problems of African people. They're only concerned to the extent that they can go out there and play for them and perform for them and make money for them. So in terms of remedying the wrong, I don't see these billionaires being, you know, in favor in terms of doing anything that's going to empower African people.
You, Carla, in terms of the owner for New England Patriots, the wealthy owner, Robert Kraft, do you actually think they're actually going to those charges going to stick with them? Because we understand normally when you're wealthy, you just about can do anything, and if you appear in the web, you can just about do anything and get away with it.
Yeah, I'm hesitant whether or not they will actually stick. I'm waiting to see. If Jeffrey Epstein is any indication, he was able to get off with a relatively light sentence. So in terms of Kraft, you know, the mere fact that you know, they got pictures of him actually performing, you know, solicitation and actually engaging in illicit behavior. The mere fact that those pictures may serve some weight in terms of maybe put some pressure on him to at least he don't totally get away free. I'm hoping that's the situation. But the history has always been, and you're absolutely correct, is that when wealthy folks commit crimes, particularly when it comes to a sexual nature, normally they get off or they create some justification where their record eventually expunged. So well, I'm just waiting to see exactly how that translates.
Okay. Now, speaking of this whole question of child trafficking, I don't know if our community as well, you know, but we're in the African community inside the United States, even up to this point, there has been reported at least 64,000 African women, girls, have gone missing. Don't nobody know where they have gone. We're talking about over 64,000 now, and just heard about the owner being involved with possibly people who was trafficking young women. Now, I'm just wondering, how do you lose so many women and nobody know nothing about it? How do you lose 64,000 women disappear and no one know nothing about it? With the technology, with the sophistication, with the level of organization that this society has, how does that happen? But anyway, Carla, we'd like to thank you. We're going to put you on hold. We're going to open up to other callers who may like to say something. As a matter of fact, I believe we have a brother Bo on the line. And when we talk about children trafficking, we like to bring Brother Bo. We like to bring you in. Are you there, Brother Bo? Hit one for me, please. We're gonna bring in Brother Bo. And Brother Bo, 3128, Is that Brother Bo? 3128. Call 3128.
No, that's actually Anthony.
No, this is Brother Putman from Southern Maryland.
Hi, Southern Maryland, brother. How you doing? Your response to Hot Topics, would you make up some of the things that's going on? Were you discussing Justice Select, Kelly, Robert Kraft, and the settlement between Captain and Eric Reeves? What can we take from these issues, Carla?
Well, regarding Jesse, he made some poor decisions. And he's going to eventually have to pay for those decisions he made. Unfortunately, and stuff impacted a lot of good causes. And he moved from the comfort to uncomfort. So it'll be resolved soon. So good luck to Jesse. Regarding R. Kelly, R. Kelly has been doing this for a while, as previous caller mentioned. I feel that the sad part about this deal is that some of the parents were aware of R. Kelly's situation, what he was doing to their children, and a lot of them actually went in there and accepted funds and money from R. Kelly for the abuse that of the young girls. So eventually that has to work itself out through the court system.
Carl, let me stop you for a second. You said something interesting. If you think the mothers played a role in facilitating this, should they also be liable for their role?
Personally, I think they should, and that's what may happen in the future. But, yeah, they play a part in it and stuff, and because any father or any parent would not allow their children to be involved with the older man such as R. Kelly, regardless of how much money or income or publicity or whatever exposure he can give them. They just won't allow it. It's just their children.
Okay, point where I'm taking. Caller, we'd like to thank you for your contribution to this segment. We'll put you on hold, and we'll take one more right quick. We'd like to bring Susie in. Susie, you're a female. You've been hearing some of the discussions on how people feel about some of these hot topics that we are discussing today. What is your take on some of these topics? What's your take on R. Kelly and this whole question of Jesse and how we deal with this whole question of football owners participating in prostitution and et cetera, et cetera?
Well, as far as Justice Smollett's concerned, I think not only did he have a issue with being bigger than what he was, if he actually did what he said, I'm still waiting for the final decision to come out through the courts, because I can't believe that you would have the Chicago police come out with all the stuff that they did beforehand, before they even charged him. So it's going to be interesting to see if a lot of this wasn't orchestrated by someone else. So, but all of that should come out within the court system. And as far as R. Kelly, the thing about it, they as of now, they said they got him on 4 counts, but the thing about it, one of the young ladies involved, come to find out, she was involved with the case that they had against him years ago. So therefore, they're already looking at throwing that out. So that leaves just the additional 3. I wouldn't be surprised if R. Kelly ends up walking again, because of the fact that he does have money and he does have clout. Regardless of everything that he's done, he's got good lawyers that's going to work, and I wouldn't be surprised that he walks, even though it would be a shame that he does, because this is taking advantage of young kids, young girls who didn't know no better. And like one of their callers alluded to, the parents had some say-so as to why would you even allow your kids to be a part of anything that R. Kelly was involved in. Even if it was going to bring you fame didn't deserve for those young kids, young women, to go through what they went through. And as far as Robert Kraft should be they should be able to take everything from him. Not only was he court for prosecution, where they have proof of it, also the fact that we were dealing with human trafficking, which is a major problem here in the U.S. and abroad. So therefore, he should be stripped of everything from the New England Patriots, like they would do anyone else. And so that's another situation. We're just going to see what the court system does. And I just noticed this happened this week, but already when you look at a lot of the different mediums, they are basically they're not giving much credence to that particular, to him and what happened. And as far as Kaepernick and Eric Reid, I think they signed the agreement, and which is good for them in a way, but I still don't think he'll ever have the opportunity where he'll actually be on a football team. And that's my opinion on those particular topics.
All right, Susan, I'd like to thank you for your opinion. And to our listening audience, you are listening to Missing Pages of History. We're going to make our next transition to current events. On the current events segment, we want to talk about what's going on in Venezuela. And we're also going to talk maybe a little bit about what's going on in Africa, what's going on in South Sudan. And you can tell us what's going on in your community. But we will do this in 2 minutes. We're going to pause for this call. This is Missing Pages of History. And our theme today is This World is a Ball of Confusion. We'll be right back. Today, which is the 23rd February 2019, there are a host of mobilization events that are going on in solidarity with Venezuela. To talk a little bit about Venezuela and what's going on, we'd like to bring in our brother Kamal. I believe Kamal. Can you hear me, Kamal?
Yes, I can.
We welcome you to Missing Pages of History. You know, Brother Kamal, that was an interesting article written by Greg Pleasant. He wrote an article titled, "In Venezuela, White Supremacy is a Key to Trump Coup." This article written on February 8, 2019. And let me just read a couple of statements that he made in his article. He stated that on January 23rd, right after a phone call, Donald Trump and Juan Guaido, former Speaker of Venezuela's National Assembly, declared himself president. No voting. When you have official recognition from the donor, who needs election? And he said, here I can explain what's going on in Venezuela in three photos. First, we have one of a photo where Juan Guaido is being introduced as the president with his family. Then he has a second photo where the next class of his supporters, members of the National Assembly, they are all literally Snow White, or they're all Europeans, he said. And then you have in the third picture a photo of the Congress member who supported the elected president, Nicolas Maduro, and his supporters are nearly all people of dark hue. So what he's saying is, you know, the premise of this attempted coup, which is being coordinated and organized by the U.S., is based upon, you know, the old standard of measuring a race, you know, European dominating people of color. So you have been to Venezuela several times. What do you make of what is going on in Venezuela from your perspective, Cabal?
Well, thank you for having me on, Brother Lee. A few words, my perspective and experience, and if people could begin to visualize the history of the U.S. relationship with Venezuela, which started back long before Guaido, another puppet that the U.S. has put up to control and govern Venezuela. Venezuela's been having problems since the 1930s with the U.S. and dealing with its oil, coming on up to Hugo Chavez, which we all know was politically elected the president of Venezuela, and the U.S. plotted a coup to overthrow him. And this happened 15 years ago. Plotted a coup to overthrow Hugo Chavez, which they did, but the people rallied and brought him back to power. Hugo Chavez ruled because he had developed an alliance with other politically progressive Latin American countries from Brazil to Argentina, the leaders that were politically progressive that fought against U.S. domination and colonization of those countries. So Hugo Chavez was able to dictate what the political atmosphere was about, especially with oil. Cuba vividly supported Hugo Chavez. Chavez had a strong relationship with Cuba and Fidel when Fidel was alive. And my experience in going there, and I had the experience of meeting Hugo Chavez in Bolivia, but to tell the story, he had just came back from Cuba, because as I said, he was checking out on Fidel Castro when Fidel Castro became ill, and he was continuing visiting. But the story about the alliances that Hugo Chavez had developed, Hugo Chavez was of course giving Cuba oil, and Cuba was supplying doctors and nurses that I had the experience of meeting when I was in Venezuela. I had the experience of traveling through the African community in Venezuela, which was very progressive and this supported the Bolivarian Revolution. We went to a peanut factory of Africans, they just showed us how they develop peanuts and peanut butter, et cetera, et cetera. These are Africans. Then they had a three-day celebration in Coepe. These are African people coming from all over Venezuela. This is an annual festival. The people supported the Bolivarian Revolution. I visited some of the schools. Hugo Chavez had up in the mountains. I forgot what part of Venezuela this was, but the children could not come down out of the hills, the mountains, to go to school. It was too long and it was dangerous. So Hugo Chavez went up and developed schools and barns. I have pictures. Until you took the barns and warehouses that the people were living in those communities and made schools out of them. So the people loved and supported the Bolivarian Revolution. And in the meantime, of course, the U.S. was trying to find ways to attack the revolution, but it could not because it was too strong. Even Hugo Chavez had developed alliances and supporters in Europe and Asia. And the U.S. was just waiting. And we even have some suspicion that they may have had something to do with his death. But they were just waiting for that alliance to break. It was plotting to overthrow and interfere in all these countries and they, with the elections. We talk about in Argentina, Brazil, et cetera. The U.S. had a lot to do with those elections, which way they went and who was elected. They was trying to break those alliances, and they eventually did. So after Hugo Chavez passed, Nicolas Maduro was elected. He was elected politically and justifiably so. I mean, and the elections, if I recall, Carter, President Carter, oversaw the first election. So they were legitimate elections, but the U.S. Government did not recognize those governments. These were legitimate elections. And even after that, I forgot how many elections that in the last, say, 6-7 years that Maduro has had. So here comes, and they've always had an opposition that was supported by the U.S. and its allies because of the oil in Venezuela. They've been always trying to get into Venezuela to control the oil because Venezuela has the largest oil reserve in the world. So you know how bad the U.S. has been trying to overthrow it and set up puppets. The National Assembly that Guaido came out of was the assembly that a number of puppets that they tried to put up were overthrown or lost the election. So Guaido won the elections in the National Assembly. That's why his name came up, because the U.S. had other puppets that they were trying to recognize to attack and the government. So the U.S. has been squeezing the economy of Venezuela ever since with sanctions. I mean, but this Venezuela isn't the only country that the U.S. has done this to. They have
speaking
had history.
Let me stop you for a second. I'd like you to speak to this point. Then I'll bring in another brother from South Sudan because the two struggles are very similar. Today, mm-hmm. on the 23rd, they are having hundreds of rallies in support of Maduro and the Venezuelan people all over the country, all over the world.
Yeah.
But you see very little in the press. Now, in this article with Brother Greg wrote, he stated that when you look at the Western media, they only show you rallies that the opposition is hosting.
Right.
And no rallies mm-hmm. is really small and made up basically predominantly of rich white people or rich Europeans. It don't reflect the country. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then I'm going to bring my brother from South Sudan to talk a little bit about what is going on in South Sudan, because the parallel is very closely related in terms of how the media plays a role in trying to dictate perceptions or what people think things may be. But go ahead, Kamal. Briefly, a little bit, talk about the world media.
The opposition in Venezuela was very racist. I mean, they attacked Africans and that supported the Bolivarian Revolution. I think one incident where they burned one African alive in Venezuela over the past few years. See, the media, you know, Trump, even Obama never recognized and never said anything about that. But they were attacking Africans in particular, throwing them out of windows. The opposition that supports Maduro is very large. We know we have a capitalist-oriented media that goes there, that they just overlook all of that. They only show the opposition and whatever puppet they have to speak for the opposition. They only show that and blow that picture up. So finally they got Guaido. He comes up and just to think now how backwards and reactionary he is, he declares himself president. And he gets support from the USA, Trump, and Britain, France, blah, blah, blah. Well, we know they formed the NATO alliance, so they could support all that bull. But this is an alliance that backs the USA basically wherever, because they reap benefits from the oil, too. And the sanctions that they've put the squeeze on Venezuela. I mean, this is why the people are starving without basic medical care. They don't have food on the shelf because U.S. has blocked all of that. And then they declare that the socialist revolution, it doesn't work. They not only have done that, I remember, if people can remember historically, they did it in Jamaica with Michael Manley and Edward Seaga. They put when Manley started talking about a socialist economy, they blocked all of that because they wanted Seaga to become president.
They're doing it as well as in Zimbabwe, Kamal.
Zimbabwe.
Go ahead,
Lee.
No. I said Zimbabwe is another example. Iraq. I mean, you can see the narrative is consistent, but for some reason or other, American people continue to fall for it.
Well, people have to be politically educated to understand, just like we're talking now, about what's happening around the world, or else they will get whitewashed by the capitalist media, the propaganda machine. We have to be able to make the analysis. Political analysis about what's happening, who is the enemy, and who are our allies. And if they read the Washington Post and the New York Times and the L.A. Times, this is what they're going to get. Sure, they're going to get that information. Now, look at it. I ain't read articles. I know what it's going to be about, you know, when you read an article about Venezuela, what the political alliance and what the slant is on those articles. So we have to begin to get our information from other sources, independent sources. I mean, there's some out there. We just have to seek and search and talk and discuss. And if we can get the information personally, I mean, we have to attend the rallies around. We had a rally today in front of the Cuban embassy, which I wasn't able to make, but there are many other political alliances and rallies that are going on where people are giving up-to-date information about what's not only happening in Venezuela but around the world. You know, Palestine, Zimbabwe, the Sudan. I mean, we have to begin to seek the information because we know the information is slanted towards the capitalist imperialist machine. It has always been. So here we got Guaido. He makes himself president, which is ridiculous. How can you support somebody like that? I mean, except for a backwards political.
You have the collaboration of the Democrat and the Republican Party participating.
Yeah, they support that. The Democrats and Republicans support that bull. I mean, you can understand the history of U.S. imperialism.
Okay, so now we're going to put you on hold for a second, and what we're going to do right now is bring in caller 4644, caller 4644. Welcome to Mr. Pages. Your question or comment, caller?
I had a question to ask.
Yes.
Is not Venezuela a member of the Organization of American States, which consists of about 28 countries? Now, I agree with one thing. The United States need to leave those countries to themselves to handle their own problems. U.S. gives them aid, but, you know, they say that that doesn't go where it should go. But from what I'm reading, you got the Venezuelan military that's blocking aid from entering into the country. And you mean to tell me that that country don't have the ability to produce food, agriculture, canned food stuff? It's kind of difficult to believe.
And you're right, caller. Don't believe the hype, because that's not true. But we will deal with that in a minute, caller.
And you know one other thing, sir. I hear people say that the United States is still... You need to tell me Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders is down there stealing oil. Is that not companies that have the opportunity to go in and collaborate with the local officials in that? Heck, an African American company could do that. And if it's Exxon or a Chevron, those are publicly trading companies here in the United States. So people that have stock in those countries is taking part in that. So it's I just wonder. And what do they want to do? I don't think the U.S. military should go down there and let those countries handle their own stuff. 28 countries that's a part of the Organization of American States. 28. And they can't handle that problem? And I'm waiting on your answer. Thanks for your show.
I call it. We're gonna respond to the caller. We thank you.
We know.
Kamau, go ahead. And then we have to bring in that brother Bo for Sudan. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, Kamau.
Go ahead. Someone else is speaking?
Go ahead, Kamau. Respond to him. We're going to our brother Sudan. He's been waiting patiently. But go ahead.
Go right ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead, Kamau. Respond to the caller about this question about.
AAU, the Organization of American States, has always been politically slanted toward U.S. policies. No matter who are the leaders of the various countries, the president of the OAU has always been a U.S. puppet. So they never recognized Cuba until recently. And they had problems with Hugo Chavez because of the leadership of the OAU and the pressure that the U.S. put on that alliance. So there's a book by this Latin American brother Guado called it the Veins of Latin America, which is very enlightening of the history of U.S. pillaging of Latin America. The U.S. and its allies since day one, since the Spanish conquistadors, rampaged through Latin America. And the U.S. policies have taken that up in terms of colonization, the raw materials that they've extracted from the lines is now you got people. We talked from you know, just recently in the past 10 years, Nicaragua, El Salvador. I mean, these are revolutions that the U.S. has attacked because of their socialist policies. And U.S. not being able to control those governments because of the raw materials. Anytime these countries say they're developing socialist policies or talk about socialism, the U.S. attacks. It's not anything new if people understand the history. So when we see these things leading up to what's happening in Venezuela, we can understand that. The U.S. has, they will not let any of it. They call Latin America their backyard. Now, what does that mean, quote unquote? Latin America. So that means that they don't want anyone else in Latin America controlling their puppets. They want to be able to control the oil, copper, whatever raw materials that are productive in Latin America, they want to be able to control. We saw what they did in Vietnam, but that's another story. This is a continuation of U.S. imperialist policies. And if people don't understand that, then they don't understand the history. You know, I mean, if they go along with what's happening in Venezuela, then they don't understand history.
All right, Brother Kamau, we're going to put you on hold. Stay there. We'll go now to Africa. We'd like to bring in our Brother Bo. Brother Bo, are you there? Can you hear me?
All right, I'm here, yeah.
Yes, to our listening audience, this is Brother Bo Gardine. He's running for president of South Sudan. President, he lives in the U.S. We're talking about today this whole question of this is a world of a ball of confusion. Now, there's a whole lot of confusion going back home in Africa. And right now, folks, can you just your situation in Sudan and what are some of the things you got coming up in Richmond for African History Month? But briefly, talk a little bit about what's going on in Sudan and why do people need to be aware of what's going on and how it relates to them.
Thank you, Brother Lee, and the audience and the panels. And I want just a little bit to acknowledge the speaker, Susie, very much explained the Black History Month and the achievement of the African in America that we, most of us, did not know, and the history and the time that they've done a great achievement in this country, plus what they have done so far to live up the struggle. And I want to thank Susie and the rest of you. And I think the history of Black History Month is great history, and it's a great month that we Africans should be proud of, and also should be extend to the continent as well, to educate the people in the continent for the achievement of the Africans and American, as well as abroad in Caribbean. My name is Bolgai Deng. Most of you have actually, Brother Lee have mentioned, candidate for the country of South Sudan, which actually got independent from the North Sudan in 2011. South Sudan is a new country after war that been the longest war in Africa, been fought several times. In 2011, we got independent from the North. But a little bit to give an idea what this war was about. War was about colonial, the Arabs, against the indigenous people of Africans. Again, the war is the Arab conquest toward the land of Kush. It traced back to the history that the Kush nation was the first African civilization go back beyond 300 BC, the name of Kush. And the name of Kush also refers to Ethiopia. Ethiopia today is not the Ethiopia back then. The land of Kush also refers to the Nubia. The Nubia came along later to be a Negro. Today, most of us in America, you heard a lot about the Negro. What the word Negro come about, it come from the Nubia. And the Nubia is the black nation, which is the Kushite nation, that was very much conquer or maybe rule Egypt in 701 BC. The Kush was actually ruling from the south to Egypt, to Mediterranean, to Palestine at the time. Actually, the Kushite queens in 701 BC actually rescued Jerusalem from attackers from Assyrians at the times. Just because of that struggle of the Arab invasion in the land changed the name of Kush to Sudan. Sudan referred to the people who are black. Sudan in Arabic means the black people. Sudan, it means the land of black people that give the birth to African continent. The immigration of the African people is starting the Kush to the west, to the east, to the north. I want to make this clear to my audience to listen carefully. If you are historians or a scholar, you have to know what I'm saying are the facts of black people, of African people. Sudan has been at war by defending our own origin, ancient country that's been going on for too long. We believe we're Africans. We believe the Kush is African land. We believe the Sudan today, who have been changed by the Arab invaders, are indeed is the land of African people. And that's what we've been fighting for, go back to 2,000 years. So the fighting that's been going on in Sudan was a resistance of African indigenous from being enslaved for too long and turned the movement of slavery to a resistant movement that led for the army that fought against the Arab base. The Arab presumed that the world began with Muhammad of Islam, and the Arab believed that the world began with the Arab culture and Islamic culture. That brought the war of Sudan. And the war of Sudan also was the indigenous of African Sudanese who defend the African continent, because the Sudan is the gate to enter to Africa continent. So Sudan is a gateway for you to reach Africa. And Sudan also, it was very much forced threat from the northern Africa, from Egypt, Libya, Indonesia, Morocco, Algeria, and put by the Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all the peninsula who very much want to occupy the African continent and occupy the African resources. This is the war that we fought for too long. We gained in defending in 2011, and I became a candidate of that country today. So when you talk about the European imperialism, you should not also forget the Arab imperialism. You should not forget the Islamic imperialism toward the African people that want to wipe out the African heritage, wipe out the African history, wipe out our own culture. That is the war. And when it comes to issues of my campaign, we believe that, go back to the history, we are democratic people, we are elect people, and we believe that fair and free election is the only can bring the leader by the people to choose the leader that they want. So I became a candidate when we realized that the leader that now elect, it was very much actually, we gained independence in 2011. This leader was not capable, went and created his own war because he see the world in a tribal eye. He did not see a world in African vision. He did not see the nation in a pan-African vision. He did not see the nation in a United States of African vision. He saw the world in his own tribal line and created the tribal war, which give a chance to our enemy to take over the country. So we believe we're African, we're indigenous, we fought, we all have the common goal. Our common goal to fight our African identity, to defend African identity, to defend African race, to defend African continent. We're all African. We're not you from that Zulu or from whether you call yourself you from Dinka or Nuer or Chuluk or Sholu or Fajulu or Bantu. We're all Africans. That's how we stood up. That how we got independent. Now that vision has been lost, and we are coming back to re-energize, to re-organize, to bring back the people of Africa together, so we can maintain the South Sudan as a nation. What happened? The leader turned to a dictatorship that brought the war. Now we're demanding him to call election. If he could not call election, we demand him to step aside. And that's why I brought it here. I have actually relayed the issues of South Sudan as well to issues of Venezuela. I want to tell my audience and those who are listening now that what we're good at it for too long in Africa, we've been deceiving the world, and that I like the title, The World of Confusion. We all, Africa, have no dignity to ourselves. Our leader have no dignity to respect our own citizens. And I will give you the example of Arkali. R. Kelly, when I got to America in 1999, it was my role model. I listened to R. Kelly's song. Not only me, all the African youth. If you go to African continent, the impact that the African musician here in America had made to the African continent, it shaped the African continent. If you go on other by Tupac, B.I.G., or Aaliyah, or maybe you talk about Fiancé, or you talk about Eve, you talk about Jay-Z, you know that people in Africa know Jay-Z more than people in America. So what I want to tell you is this, that whatever you do in America, it actually shaped the life of African people in the continent. Whether it was positive or was negative, that right away bring the impact, negative or positive. So what I want to say is this, that we should show dignity to our children, we should show the respect to our young women. If we do not do this, I don't think we have audacity to complain about other race doing bad toward us. If we don't respect ourselves, we don't respect our young women, I don't think we are capable to lead our own citizens. And what R. Kelly have done is disgrace and should be condemned. And no one should allow to do something to teenagers in our community. That is my input. When it comes to African leaders, the African leaders have been done a great genocide to their own citizens. They killed our own citizens day and night. They trained three government sectors, the police, the security, the military. The military, Africa have nobody to fight but their own citizens. The police of Africa have nobody to fight but their own citizens. The security of Africa have no one to fight except their own citizens. These have been well cooked by the African revolutionaries for too long. And the African people have been marginalized by the only who look like them. The only who eat like them. And that's why you will never heard the slavery in African Union discussion. Because the African Union is a sellout organization. The African Union controlled by the rulers, not leaders. You see, when you are a leader, you lead and you serve. When you are a ruler, you oppress, you dictate, you starve the society not to have food, not to have education, because you marginalize your own citizens to become deaf and dumb, not to see the outside world. That had been going on in Africa. When Africa was described as a darkness continent, the Africa until this day, it was made darkness continent by our own leaders. Who rise in 1960, in 1970, the African leaders, they were dictators and they were so ruthless. If you see an African leader today, he will kill a million and go to CNN and other newspaper and say, well, I killed 100. He should not kill 100 in the first place. If you are a leader, you should serve them. But the situation of South Sudan is a tragic situation. And we're looking forward for people like you and the African around the world to support me and support my campaign. Humanitarians. If you cannot do anything, you can support people of South Sudan in a humanitarian way. You can support them financially so they can have at least food and education. These are the things I'm campaigning for, and we are going to make it happen. What I want to say here is that we need a new vision for African continent. And we need a new vision for African people around the world. We need to have a platform or channel we can discuss, have our issue discussed like what we are doing now. If the CNN and other news denying our people to speak the truth, we have to find a different channel to speak the truth. And that will need to be done. And also, most important, if we African people, it doesn't matter where we live, could not identify the Arab nation, the Middle Eastern are a threat to our society, we don't deserve to live. As Malcolm X said, don't speak the word freedom, at least you're willing to die for. I agree with him. Also, the singer, Bob Marley. Bob Marley said that you could be fooled once, but you should not be fooled all the time. If we allow ourselves to be fooled all the time, we should not allow it to be fooled all the time. We should be fooled once, not all the time. What the Arab and Islam have done toward African, they fool African all the time, and Africa becomes so ignorant to their own cause, to their own struggle, they could not even identify the enemy because they have audacity to talk about the European, who very much, European do not come through the border. European take the boat through the Nile or ocean, or they come through the embassy, give them visa. But the Arab do not get a visa. Arab come through the boat, through the Nile Valley. That's how they come in and kidnap the slaves. I was a slave by myself. My grandfather, he was a slave. I lived generation of a slave in my own backyard, which African leader will never speak about slavery. Thank God I come to America now. I'm become a champion of slavery, and I'm going back to liberate every slave child of African, and to make sure that the Arabs need to be sued or put in the United Nations so they can be able to answer the question why they actually enslaved African for too long and nothing has been done about it. But thank you, my boy, for giving me a chance. I will stop here.
Yes, can you just quickly tell the people who would like to know more about your struggle and your party where they can get the information from? Can you give them that website or information how they can contact you?
My party is Bolgai Deng for President, Quick Democratic Majority Party. The Quick Democratic Majority Party that is in very much in social media and everywhere you can go to GoFundMe and donate or help. That is the way that you can go to my GoFundMe. And also we're going to have a big fundraising here in University of Virginia, Commonwealth University of Virginia. We are going to have our brother, Dr. Malafa Ashanti, on Tuesday. Dr. Malafa Ashanti was a fan Africanist that actually formed what they call the Africa-centricity, Africa-centric education, in which actually will let us be aware about ourselves. So Malafa is going to speak a lot about the ancient Kush and the African civilization and the world history. How did Kush actually and the Africans made the world history at the time? So Malafa is going to speak about those categories and is going to engage and involve and invite everyone to support this campaign. And this is a campaign, and my brother and sister are here tonight. I'm a big believer for pan-Africanism. I'm a believer in the United States of Africa. I believe in African revolution that should be done by the African. And also we should not deny we have allies. We need to identify who are our allies. That is a good question. And I agree with that. And we are going, as soon we're going to talk, as we are talking now, I think we're going to look forward to find a good allies who have the best interests of our society. And thank you.
All right, Brother Bo, you didn't give the people the website and the date and time of the event at Virginia Commonwealth University.
The website is the Kush Democratic Majority Party. Could you type that down and Google it right now? It will pop up. If you put Bolgai Deng and Quick Democratic Majority Party, it will always show up. If you go to Google right now, it will show up. That one. Just
and
Google.
Upcoming program
will be on Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Virginia Commonwealth University, right here in Richmond, Virginia. It was 7 p.m. And I think that I have the information I can share to you. My Malafa Shanti also is the chairman of African American Studies at Temple University in Philadelphia. And he's coming all the way from Philadelphia to support, to very much to enlighten the community here in Richmond about the cause and the struggle of the African civilization. What needs to be done for us to take back our history? And thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bo. Right now, we're going to pause the calls. When we come back, we're going to be doing a closing, and we would like to share with you on what's coming up on the calendar of MPH and how you can support us. We're going to pause for this call, and we'll be right back. This is Missing Pages of History.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin?
people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors,
we'd like to welcome you back to Missing Pages of History. As we stated earlier, today's theme is The World is a Ball of Confusion. We've been speaking on several issues, topics, and events that is impacting on our communities. What we're going to do at this point in time, we're in our process of closing, but before we close, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with MPH, and then we'll give our final participants a final chance to make a closing remark. So right now we'll bring Susie back in on behalf of MPH. Susie, will you talk to the listening audience on what is going on with MPH and how they can support us?
Hi. I'd like to remind our listening audience that our February 23rd raffle fundraiser drawing has been extended till March the 30th of 2019, and that will be at 1 o'clock. And you can listen to www.blogtalkradio.com, Missing Pages of History, Inc. You do not need to be present to win. And also, if you'd like to continually help to support us with our MPH T-shirt and cap drive, you can place your orders by going to www.mph.org. And also, we have our upcoming fall MPH TV show, which is on Comcast Channel 95 and Fios Channel 36, and that's on Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. And it's a weekly show, which also involves live call-ins. And also, last and final, just a reminder that our MPH radio program is on Saturdays, which is biweekly at 1 o'clock p.m., and our next one will be March the 2nd. 2019, and we'd like to thank you in advance for your support, and you can always go to our website, and we're also a nonprofit 501(c). Thank you.
Susan, I just would like to make a small correction in terms of our website. They should go to www.mphinc.org. That's www.mphinc.org. Please check out our website. You can email us at MrPageHistory1@yahoo.com for interviews or comments or questions you may have about this program and our organization. But more importantly, we'd like to tell you we need your support, and your support can come in different forms, not just financially, but we are now recruiting memberships. We need members to help improve and build our communities and make better communities and help to eradicate the various confusion that we are dealing with like today. We talk about many areas of concerns that are confusing our people, and we need to get some clarity. And the only way we can do that is by writing and controlling our history. This is why Missing Pages of History came to existence. So in terms of closing our final thoughts, we'd just like to go back to Brother Kamal around the issue of Venezuela. Brother Kamal, we gave you your final thoughts on this, Brother Kamal.
Well,
Well, all I would like to say at this point in time is we'd like for the people to keep up with the news, not only in Venezuela, but as the brother was saying, in Africa. We are the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC. You can look at our website at aprptc.org to get more information. I'm also a organizer with the D.C. Metro Coalition in solidarity with the Cuban Revolution, and we also support solidarity with Venezuela at this particular time. And you can reach me at any time through Lee, or you can check out the website. But we have to be vigilant in terms of keeping up with the pillaging and rampaging of U.S. imperialism and colonization. I mean, there's no other way we can look at it and be productive, because we have to attack it whenever we can. We have to rally and struggle against it. And we thank you, Lee, and I thank you again for your program. And hopefully that we can discuss other issues coming up in the future.
Okay, Kamari, thank you, and thank you for your participation for today's program. Brother Bo, your final thoughts, please. Your final thoughts. You got about 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I just want to thank the panels and the program, and thank you so much for the program and everybody that participated. We are the only pan-African United States of Africa pursued in Africa. We believe in the United States of Kush. We will turn to the United States of Africa. That is our vision. We believe the United States of Africa have to be alive, have to be kept, and the pan-African must be alive. By Michael Garvin. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bo. And we do have a caller that's been on for a while waiting. I don't know if the caller would like to say a few words. If caller, you'd like to, call on 1718. If you'd like to say a few words, make a few comments about the nature of this program, you're welcome to do it. Call on 1718. The mic is yours.
Brother Lee, how are you doing? This is Lewis Wolf in Washington. I want to say, first of all, thank you very much for your program. It's outstanding and really goes to the core of the rabid disinformation that we face in this land and in this time. And I don't know where to start or where to end, but I will say this quickly. We are celebrating the life of a man who died in December. His name is William Blum, B-L-U-M. He was an author of 5 books on the crimes of the CIA and the human costs of those crimes around the world. And his name is William Blum, as I said. He wrote 5 books on the crimes of the CIA. He also had an international blog called the Anti-Empire Report. Folks can look it up on the internet. You can still read it in live print. He published in 2003 until 2018. And so folks who are interested in the Richmond area or anywhere near Washington, we are having an event to honor him. It's called a memorial and a celebration of a life well fought. If you want more information, you can contact me. I'll give my phone number. And it's in Washington, D.C. on St. Patrick's Day, Sunday, December 17th, at 4 to 7 in the evening. So people are invited to come. You can send me an email, LOUW7 at live.com, or my phone is 202-841-5383. Thank you, Brother Lee.
Okay, Brother Lou, I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to definitely thank the organizations that you're working with and member of for all the things they're doing to try to make humanity a better humanity for all people. I'd like to thank our participants, our listening audience, our guests tonight as well for their contribution helping us to make humanity better, but even more importantly, that help us fill in and create the various missing pages of history that has been left out the history books. This is what we're trying to do at MPH. We can't do this alone. We need you, so please come and join us. So until next time, we'd like to thank you again, and we'd like to remind you, let's all describe to go forward level and backward level, and we leave you with this message from our sister, Alicia Keys.
Support for education, 'cause right now it don't make sense. Right now